And the sermon that I would give today is a topic that I would give today is redeeming the time. Now, some of you who have been coming here for a long time, I have given a topical sermon on redeeming the time before. So, if you want to put it, that was a good exposition of the scripture that I had given before. So, this one would be part two. Alright? So, redeeming the time, part two. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read from verse 15 to 17. 15 to 17. Apostle Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, before that, remember we gave a sermon on sleeping saints? Awake you who are asleep, that verse 14, arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. Now that goes along with the same context. See that you walk very carefully here because the times are evil. So we need to redeem the time. The Bible says here, verse 15, that we should not walk as fools walk. Now fools, I'm going to show you some other what the Bible talks about fools. Alright? The professing Christian can be a fool. If you are listening to the Word of God, and you are listening with your ears, but if you are not listening with your heart, meaning that you are not responding to the Word of God with your heart, you are called a fool. Amen. Now Matthew chapter 7 verse 26, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, 26, Jesus said, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. It's very clear. The Word of God, if you hear the Word of God and if you are not responding with your heart to the Word of God, Jesus said, it's like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. When the rains came, when the storm came, he couldn't stand because he built his house not on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And that man who builds his house on the sand is a fool. So Apostle Paul is saying, do not be just fools. Alright? That means don't just hear the word. You've got to respond what the Word of God says. That's important. You've got to practice. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? 5 were called wise. Other 5 were called what? Fools. The same thing, that not just saying I'm a Christian, or I go to church, or I have a Bible. That doesn't mean anything to the Lord unless you do the will of God. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22. Jeremiah 4:22. Now again, God is saying here in His Word through Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22, for my people are what? Foolish. They have not known me. They are silly children and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Now remember, a lot of people who are very wise when it comes to the worldly things. You can be very intelligent, bright person when it comes to the worldly things, but the things of the Lord, they can be very foolish because they don't do it. So from the perspective of God, the person who doesn't practice the word of God is a fool. And also Jeremiah 5:21 says here, 5:21, hear this now, O foolish people without understanding, who have eyes and not see not, who have ears and hear not. Remember, Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he who have ears, let him hear. A lot of people have eyes. A lot of people have ears. But they cannot hear the word of God. They will not respond. Because you've got to read the word of God. You've got to read it through your heart. The eyes of the heart of understanding. You've got the soul has to be come up, erupted, and read the spiritual things. Because you cannot, God is spirit. You understand? You cannot see God in a fleshly way. It all has to be done in a spiritual way, through the Spirit of God. Alright. James chapter 1, verse 16 to 18 says, James 1, 16 to 18, James 1, 16 to 18 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So here, a fool is a person who hears the word of God but will not practice, is a person who is deceived. Alright? Now it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. On of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of his creatures. Here again, talking, we are the first fruits of his creatures. So don't be deceived. Just don't hear the word of God only, but be doers of the word of God too. Alright? Now, going back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, we saw that we should not walk as fools. Right? We need to be wise in our walk before God. Verse 17 says, verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are what? Evil. If Paul wrote the book of Ephesians during his time, saying the days are evil, if he's living now, how much more he will write on the days that we are living in? If the time of his days were evil, how much more now than the times we are living in? And if Paul said to the people at that time, redeem the time because the days are evil, how about today? Are we not to redeem the time today, but the days are not evil? It is even worse. So how much more we need to redeem the time today? The word redeem comes from the Latin word redimo, R-E-D-I-M-O. The word re means back, and emo means to purchase. So it means to purchase back. Alright? You know, Jesus is called the Redeemer. Meaning, what did Jesus do? You know, if you remember, in Adam, we were imperfect with God in Adam. In the beginning. Before the fall. But when Adam sinned, what happened? We too sinned with him, and we fell from God, and we were in darkness. But Jesus came, and what did he do? He redeemed us back to God. He purchased us back to God in Christ Jesus. So Jesus, that's why Jesus is called the Redeemer. Alright? In the same way, we need to think about the time that we have spent in our before Christian time, days. How did you spend your time before Christian days? I'm sure you spent most of your time, or all of your time was spent for unprofitable things. Amen. For worldly things you spend your time. You spend your time for yourself. So if you look at your life, half the life is gone. And you got only very little remaining. How much more, because you have lost so much time. And you got only a little time left. And not only that. You know, if you were pretty strong when you were young. Now you're getting older. When you're getting older, it's more difficult to serve the Lord. Right? In the same way, How, we got only very little time remaining. How much more we need to redeem the time? How much more we need to purchase the time that we lost and make it up and work more harder for the kingdom of God, because the times are even evil. And you can see all the evilness. Every time you listen to the news, what do you hear? All bad news. You put the radio on or listen to the news on TV, all what you hear is bad news. But the Bible, there is a good news, as we are workers for Christ. So we need to redeem the time. Now, I'm going to give you a little example here, okay? And this is, there's a parable that Jesus said that we need to be good stewards. Alright? Now, let's see, the Lord gives you $50,000 to each one of you. And the Lord gives you $50,000 and He tells you, alright, I'm going, but I'm coming back in 5 years' time. Alright? When I come back in 5 years' time, I want to make sure that you have invested that money well. Alright? Okay. For 4 years, we just wasted the money. $40,000 were wasted. We enjoyed the worldly pleasures and so forth like that. Alright? That's what we did in our BC days before Christ did. You got how much left? You got only 10,000 left. You got 1 year to go. Wow. And you know that the Lord is coming. Now how much more you need to work for the kingdom of God? So we got very little time left. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, Psalm 90, verse 12 says what? Teach us to number our days. It says here, the Lord, please teach us to number our days. Because our days are numbered. You know, we think that we are going to live forever. But, you know, we see things happening to other people. But we never think anything, nothing is going to happen to me. So God's word says, teach us to number our days. That means we need to take every single day and live that day profitably for the Lord. Alright? That means we got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. Now, we cannot do any work without faith. We cannot do anything without faith. The Bible says without faith we cannot please God. You understand? We cannot please God. We cannot do anything without faith. Now, like Abraham, we need to be strong in faith. Remember Stephen, the book of Acts, it says of Stephen, he was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Our ministry is a ministry that has to be based on faith. Okay? Remember, through Hagar came Ishmael, right? Ishmael came, that's from the Ishmael, he's from the woman Hagar, she's a bond woman, alright? And came Ishmael. And Ishmael is a picture of human strength, of man's effort trying to please God. But remember, the promise did not come from Ishmael. The promise came from Isaac. And we can relate, or we can see that we came from the offspring of Isaac. Understand? And that is through faith. So we are not born for the will of man, or the flesh of man, or the blood of man. But we go back to God, as the book of John chapter 1 says here, John chapter 1 verse 13, who were born not out of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So we can trace our heritage or go back to Isaac, not to Ishmael. So that means we need to have faith to do the ministry. Alright? Now, What is faith?
Really, if you go to see, that means you got to truly believe in God.
That means you need to have an abundant confidence of the living God. That is really faith. You need to have abundant confidence in the living God. You know, so we need to truly believe in God, trust in God, have confidence in Him. Without that, you don't have faith. Also, we need to have confidence in Jesus. Jesus is not a fiction. It's not just stories of Jesus. Jesus, it's not a fiction type Jesus, but Jesus has to be real in your life. And also, you need to rely on the Holy Spirit. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit. So I went through God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Alright? So important to see that if I ask you today, do you believe that God can clothe you this very moment? Do you believe that God can clothe you with the power of His Holy Spirit, just like what happened in the New Testament days? Do you believe that God can instantly clothe you with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, just like in the New Testament days? Do you believe that? Okay. Do you believe that God can use you mightily, boldly for His kingdom today, right now? Well, a lot of people will say, yeah, but how come it's not being used? Because they don't really believe. They say Bible says it's believed, but they really don't believe that God can use me. A lot of people say, oh, it's for the apostles, Paul, and so forth. Maybe during the reformers. What? Me? No. I don't think so. That's unbelief. Amen. That is unbelief. Amen. Well, how can God use you if you have unbelief? So that's why if you truly believe, then, you know, as I said, what? You listen to the word and you respond to the word of God. So important. What you believe, you got to respond. It's so important. So there's so much unbelief in the church today. That's why the ministry is not flourishing, because there's unbelief in the church. That's why you know, just like we need to believe that God can multiply loaves and fishes. Amen. We need to believe that. Remember Jesus. He did a lot of miracles, right? But in his own hometown, he couldn't. You know why? Because of unbelief. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. Matthew 13, 58. Starting from verse 55. Says, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? When then did this man get all these things? So they offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not honored without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Verse 58 says, now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Unbelief is just the opposite of faith. Amen. Unbelief. God cannot bless the ministry if there is unbelief in the church. He cannot. Remember, Hebrews chapter... So unbelief is what? A sin. Unbelief is a sin against God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. The children of Israel... Hebrews 3:19 says that, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The children of Israel, that generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, they could not enter the promised land
because of what? Unbelief. They could not enter the land of milk and honey because of unbelief. In the same way, we cannot come to the throne room of God if there is unbelief. We need to believe. We need to trust in God. If you believe in God, there is nothing can be too hard. Absolutely nothing can be too hard if you truly believe in God. If you believe in God, if you believe in comforts, then you need to believe in difficulties also. A lot of people will believe in comforts, but when the difficulties come, believing is not only in comfort, but also in difficulties, because God will take you in the valley of the shadow of death sometimes. He will take you in the narrow road, and sometimes you've got to climb these rocky mountains that is going to be very difficult, very tiring. And He will take you down different valleys and so forth, a lot of trials and tribulations. But still, you need to have faith. Trust in God, that God is in control. He does everything according to His will and His counsel. You have to just trust in Him, because He is the one who is going to carry you, take you through. And these trials, these temptations, these difficulties, and when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, is good for your soul, because it brings what? Sanctification. It brings sanctification, just like a diamond. When you take a raw diamond, it is ugly. It is filled with mud. You don't see any beauty in the diamond. But when the diamond is taken to a diamond cutter, man, that diamond goes through strong trials and tribulation, goes through the fire. And when it is cut, in the same way our body needs to be cut, He is the potter, we are the clay. If He is going to make us a beautiful vessel, He is going to take some of the lumps out, and it's going to hurt us. He will take you through the valley, the shadow of death. Take you from difficult times. At the same time, just like the diamond, when it is finished, wow, it sparkles in beauty. That's the way God works. Just the diamond is in the hand of the diamond cutter, and the clay is in the hand of the potter. We need to trust in God that we will be in the hand of our Master, our Creator. He is not only the Creator, but He is also the Preserver. Okay, so you need to understand. So trust in Him, surrender to Him. That is faith. You know, while Rome was burning, Nero was fiddling. In the same way, there are so many Christians, while the world is burning with sin, many Christians, professing Christians, are complacent. It's, you know, that's why we don't understand what the sin that we are living in. Because this country, especially, we are living in too much comfort. Too much comfort, too much complacency. And when we see people from other parts of the world, that they are living in poverty, and they are lost in darkness, and even people like cannibals, people who eat human flesh. But when missionaries go over to those countries, and when they come to the Lord, these cannibals become Christians, and you can see the joy in their face. And you can see how they glorify God. And you can see that truly they believe God. And even in the movie, what you're going to see later, you will see that there was one man, it really struck me, there was one man that he was, he had a marriage problem. And these are cannibals. I mean, he had a marriage problem. So the missionary said, read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Because he didn't really love his wife and so forth like that. And he read Ephesians 5:25, as his husbands love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Then he said, wow! If Jesus loved the church and gave himself to the church and sacrificed and died for the church, how can I not love my wife? Now, if I give the same scripture, somebody is having a marital problem here in this country, I give Ephesians 5:25, that doesn't mean anything to them. But to those people, it means really this is the word of God. And you can see when they have a Bible, so they are so excited of the Bible. The women, the children, the men, they are so excited that they get into the Word of God and they read it, they underline, they say, wow, God is speaking to me, and they see the scriptures literally to themselves, and there is a change in their hearts, and you will see that they are being truly blessed. Truly blessed. And there are some people who became pastors, evangelists. The whole village turned up upside down and came to the Lord. And teachers, and everybody wants to serve the Lord. And they're excited to serve the Lord because they say, this is God's word. Man, we were totally lost in darkness. We were going to hell. Now God's word is here, and this is what the word of God says, and I want to do it. Amen. Today, we are spiritually overfed and fat and totally overweight spiritually. And we are falling asleep. And we are falling down from our chair. Because we don't want to do it. I'll tell you, those people, they are much more closer to heaven than most of the people here. You might say, whoa, I'm really blessed because you see, I got a nice car, nice house, I got all the beautiful things. God has been blessing me. I'll tell you. We see things physically, but Jesus might say, in the book of Revelation, you are wretched, miserable, and poor. You are naked, pitiful. Jesus, God, looks at the heart. He's not going to look at the material things and see how you are being given. It's not the material things that's the blessing. It's the spiritual things. You cannot take anything what you have on this earth to heaven. Only thing what you can take is the salvation and what you have done to the Lord. So you need to understand, those people are much, they don't have beautiful houses, they live in mud huts, they don't have the foods that we eat, there is no McDonald's, no Pizza Hut, they don't have the cell phones, they don't have computers, they don't have cars, they don't have absolutely nothing. They are totally, village people, they don't have absolutely nothing. Only the basic things, a little heart and a small sweet potato, and that's it, and the word of God. But they are on fire for the Lord. They are more blessed than a lot of people here. Because you know why? Our mind is so much consumed on what? On the things of the world. A mind, not in the word of God. Not in the word of God. And the other thing is that we cannot be, used is because for evangelism is because there's a fear. Fear is a sin. When you want to serve the Lord, you have to serve the Lord fearlessly. You cannot serve the Lord if you have fear. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 74. Luke 1:74 says, to grant us that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. This is why Jesus came. That we would be delivered from the enemy, that we would serve God without fear. Without fear. So fear is a sin.
We cannot serve God if there is fear. Remember, Paul was put in prison. Turn with me to Philippians 1:14. Philippians 1:14. Paul was put in prison, but this is what he said. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, even Paul was chained in prison, but he was bold to speak the word of God without fear. That means without, you know, you don't fear a man. You don't fear of the person who is going to kill you. Jesus said, don't be fear of the person who is going to destroy your body, but only of God who can destroy your soul. So fear is another factor that can be a hindrance for faith. And also 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. Says here, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power and love and sound mind. There was this story, this child, Nelson was a little kid. And Nelson loved bird nesting. So Nelson went bird nesting. He went on an expedition of bird nesting. And after a while, he came back home because it was getting a little dark. And his aunt asked him, the aunt said to him, I wonder, fear did not make you come home, Nelson. And Nelson replied, fear? I do not know who fear is. Fear? I don't know him. It's the same thing. Fear for the Christian, we don't know fear. If you are in God, you don't know fear. Fear of witnessing to people is because of fear of man. People don't witness, and that's the same. Fear of speaking in front of a group. Oh, fear? What fear? We don't know fear. Fear of going to another culture, to another group. Oh, they're different. I don't want to talk to them. You know? Fear? No, Christians, we don't have fear. Fear is a sin, just like unbelief is a sin. It's a lack of faith. If God can be for us, who can be against us? You know, so why have fear? How can you play the coward when you believe in the Almighty God? If you truly, I asked you, right, a little while ago, did God, can He fill you with the Holy Spirit? Can He use you mightily? Everybody say, yeah. A lot of people have fear. You know, it doesn't go together. If you play the coward, and if you believe in the Almighty God, how can you play the coward game? You can't. And if you say that you have the Holy Spirit, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do? It gives boldness, power. You know, God will put the words in your mouth in the right time. But you need to have faith. A lot of times, you know, we go all these preparations. I got to do this. I got to see everything is going to work out. You know, so we need to see. That's the human effort. When God told Abraham, Abraham, I want you to get out from your father's place and I want you to go where I'm going to tell you to go. Did Abraham try to figure out everything? That's what a lot of people do. They are waiting, trying to figure out this, you know, that's not going to work. No, that's going to... That's not faith. Got to trust in God. You cannot walk this life if you don't have faith, if you don't have fear. We need to be like David. Everybody was scared of Goliath because of the size. He was a refrigerator. huge, massive guy, huge. And everybody else looked like grasshoppers. And when Goliath came, everybody was running of fear because he looked big. But how big is your God? How big is your God? Goliath is just a little dust in the front of Almighty God. And David saw that, not in a physical sense. He didn't look at Goliath in a physical way. I mean, if you look in a physical way, you get scared, but he looked at it in the spiritual way. And he went with trusting in God with boldness and power. That's the man of faith. God wanted to use that man. And many. Let's go to Ephesians. I can keep on going. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will of the Lord is. So, we saw what is unwise. So we need to redeem the time. I kind of exposed that a lot of ways. So therefore, do not be unwise. We need to do what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord is to obey Him, to serve Him, to witness, to glorify Him. Yeah, these are all the will of the Lord. Okay? To have faith in Him, these are all the will of the Lord. The worldly comforts, you know, these are the things that are hindrance for us. You know, we are not content what we have. We want more and more and more. We are not satisfied. That's why when you see those people in the poor countries, how poor they are. You know, remember Jesus, when He came, where did He go to preach the gospel? To the poor. To the poor. Because the rich and the people who have plenty, you know, they don't need anything. Even when we go door knocking, a lot of rich people say, oh, no, it's okay, I'm alright. Because they have everything. What do they need Jesus for? Only the poor we realize. And we get letters from prisoners, a lot of letters from prisoners. They realize that they have committed the sin, a crime against God. And people who realize that they are on their way to hell, when people realize that they have committed a crime against Almighty God, they are going to burn in the lake of fire. They will ask, what must I do to be saved? The wrath of God is coming. What must I do to be saved? How can I flee the wrath of God? That's the way, same way that we cannot do anything without faith, being in worldly comforts, being lukewarm. No. Many are too busy in running their errands. But we need to be busy in running God's errands. Because that's priority above anything else. Remember, I told this before in Sicily, in Aristotle, in his Natural History, how he said in Sicily, there are some beautiful gardens that the herbs in the gardens are so strong in smell, it's so sweet to the smell, and it's like a strong perfume. Even the dogs, they lose their scent and cannot hunt. In the same way, a lot of us in this world, especially in this country, you know, the worldly aroma, the pleasures of world is so sweet smelling, we lose hunting for men, for souls. We are not fishing for souls. So that's why it's so important, because we need to understand there is a battle. There's a battle, a spiritual battle to win souls. So let us sound the trumpets joyously and march not with trembling, but with boldness to the enemy territory. Everybody, let us see what God, you know, you can, God has a different trumpet for everybody. Not each one is not going to have the same trumpet. He's going to have a different trumpet for everybody that you will blow for the glory of God. meaning a different ministry, different way of serving God. But you need to have faith and say, God, here I am. Just like Isaiah, here I am. I'm ready to go. I'm ready, Lord. Use me for your glory, because the time is running out. The more you wait and wait and wait and wait, time is not going to wait for you. Got to do it. So important. So let us march without trembling, with boldness to the enemy territory. The Lord of hosts is going to go before us. And He is going to be with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? Therefore, do not fear. Even the earth be removed and the mountains be removed to the midst of the sea, do not fear. That's what the Bible says in the book of Psalms, right? Even the earth be removed and the mountains be removed to the midst of the sea, we should not fear. And we should trust in the living God. And God told Joshua, when he was going to fight against the giants of the enemy territory, what did he say? Meditate on the word of God. Have courage. So we need to have courage. That means faith needs to be faith in the word of God. Faith needs to be fed daily with hidden manna. Treasures of God is here. That's where you get your strength. Holy Spirit cannot use you without the word of God. So have courage in the blessed faith. And God, please God, and pray, grant us more faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we pray and ask, Lord God Almighty, that you will pour out your spirit upon each one of us, Lord. Every man, every woman, young and old, Lord, will be used for the glory of God. And we pray and ask, Lord, as the time is running out, we have little time remaining, that we will redeem the time, what we have, for your glory. That, Lord God Almighty, that we will be strong soldiers for the kingdom of God. We ask, Lord God, as we are going to watch this true movie, what happened in the Yali tribe, how they came to know you, that they were cannibals, totally living in darkness, but the great light of Jesus shone among them, and how they were brought from darkness to the light of Christ. That this movie will truly minister to us today, Lord. That our hearts will be changed. That we will know how to live in contentment when we see this movie. That we will have boldness, Lord. That we will not live in fear. That, Lord God Almighty, that you would use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.